Good morning and welcome to our special Remembrance Day service today on this really special day as we gather around the country and around the world to remember all those who gave their lives and were injured and suffered the consequences of the great wars and conflict since. I'm delighted to say that in Sean's absence, who's not able to be here today, who normally does our act of remembrance, we've got Niven, 90-year-old Niven, who's back in church for the first time for 2 years, nearly, and we're delighted that you're going to lead our act of remembrance along with some with Paul and with Mark too. Just to say, children are going to be a mixture today. So the youngest children, we're going to suggest that they go out after we've sung our Isaac pop song, and they're going to go off to Helen's group. That's Helen's group, the up to 7-year-olds. And the older children and pathfinders will stay in for our act of remembrance and then go out after we have finished that. If any of the really youngest ones want to stay in for it, then please do. But that's what we're suggesting we're doing today. I just want to say a big thank you to Susie, who, here's Susie, if you don't know Susie, who, as ever, has put together a fantastic display for remembrance. And do come down and have a read of the, these are their pictures, and here is some detail of the different people that we're going to be remembering from our parish today. So do come and have a good look at that display later. Just a couple of notices, first of all, and that's to say next Saturday there's a couple of things going on particularly. Those of you who love quizzes, after last year's success of our online big tier fund quiz, we're going to have again our online big tier fund quiz on Saturday night, which Paul Southern from All Saints, one of our resident quiz masters up there, is going to be leading. That's going to be great fun. He's got lots of the tier fund questions, but a few of our own questions to have a bit of fun on that. Details of that are on the church mailing. Do book in and join Paul and others on Zoom for that on Saturday night. If you prefer choral music, then we have got the Hills Singers, who are going to be having a concert up at All Saints, particularly to raise money for Megan's Kitchen, which is our kitchen development up at All Saints. I know Jane and a few others from here are part of that group, and that concert is going to be at 7 o'clock on Saturday too, so do go and join in with that if you would like to. If you're a visitor here, then we'd love you to connect with us. There are a few of these cards on the welcome desk at the back, and do go and say hello to those on the welcome desk, which give you details of how to connect up with our website and get on our church weekly mailing, which we don't have a printed notice sheet anymore, but there's a church mailing there, which you can get access to through that, and do come and say hello. And many of us are going to different houses for lunch today, aren't we? We've got our Who's Coming to Lunch, and I hope everybody knows where they are going and who they're having coming. If there are any problems, I was going to say see Val, but she's not here today. Come and find me at the end, and we'll try to work it out. If you have no idea, we're expecting to be invited somewhere and haven't, and we'll work that out. Those of you who haven't signed in for that this time, we're going to have another one in February as just a way of continuing to get to know each other. So let us just turn our minds to God. And on this Remembrance Sunday, I want to begin by reading some verses from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so as we remember some of the dark days of our history today, we remember that God is a God who is still faithful. who is in our midst, in the troubles, in the storms, and that one day everything will be put right. And he's a God who calls us to live his way, to live the way of peace and love, which we're particularly going to be hearing from Heather later. So as we begin our service, let's just stand and say this response, just calling us to be a people of peace. In a world filled with violence and war, we gather together to celebrate the promise of peace. In a world filled with tyranny and oppression, we gather together to celebrate the promise of justice for all. In a world filled with hunger and greed, we gather together to celebrate the promise of plenty for all. Our hope is in the name of the Almighty God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of heaven and earth. And we're going to start by singing a traditional hymn today, Our God, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. So we thank you, Lord, that you are our God in ages past, that throughout our life you have been with us, you have been watching over us, that you are the promise of hope to come. And I just invite you in the quiet perhaps to think of something over this last couple of years maybe where you've known God with you, where you just want to be thankful to God for the way that he's been with you in difficult times. Just thank God in your own hearts now. So thank you, Lord, that you are our strength and refuge. Amen. Do take a seat. I would love to just ask the young people, particularly, if they've noticed anything special that people are wearing today. Has anyone noticed anything? What, Digby,
poppies. Poppies.
Poppies, that's right. How many of you have got a poppy on? A few of you. Yeah, hands up who's got a poppy on today. Here's my poppy. And I wonder whether, is there anyone who can tell, I better stand up here, otherwise Derek will tell me off. Is there anyone who can tell me anything about why we wear poppies? Eleanor, do you know?
When
the wars were happening, the poppies grew, didn't they? That's right. In the fields where they had been fighting, everything had been was a complete mess and was chaos, and the ground was all disturbed and everything, and everything else looked dead. Apart from what happened, was poppies grew in the fields. Amazing, and in a place where actually it looked completely desolate and dead, the poppies grew. And so why do we remember, why do we wear a poppy today? Can anyone, any of the young people remember why we wear a poppy? Yeah?
To remember the war.
That's right, we wear our poppies to remember, first of all those people who have died fighting for our country all those years ago, and in more recent wars since. So we remember them, and particularly the poppy is red, isn't it? And red perhaps reminds us of the blood that was shed when people died. So we remember, we use it to remember all those who died. Also, I think it's a sign of hope. I think the fact that actually those poppies grew on those battlefields, and when the war was over, you know, they had loads and loads of poppies, and there was a famous poem in Flanders Fields where this all came from. And I think it's a sign of hope that even in the darkest, most difficult times, that I think God can still bring life and beauty and something good from really difficult times. So I think, too, it's a sign of hope. And also, thirdly, I think it's a sign for us, when we wear them, to remember that we're called to act differently. That we're called to not be a people who fight, but to be a people who fight for peace and actually live God's way in this world. So I think three things for me. It's about remembering those who died. It's a sign of hope that even in the darkest times, things there can be new life, and it's a sign for us to act differently. And it made me remember that actually, as Christians, we have another symbol too that we remember. Here's the cross, isn't it? And I think the cross is a symbol that we sometimes, you find Christians going around wearing a cross as well. And you know, I think that the cross is something similar, isn't it? That we remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. We're going to sing about that in a minute. That he made a sacrifice for us. He gave up his life so that we could be friends with God. So when we see the cross, we remember that Jesus died for us because he loves us. Secondly, I think the cross is a sign of hope too. That actually even when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't the end of the story, because the cross is empty, isn't it? Because what happened? Who can tell me what happened to Jesus 3 days later? What happened, Alfie?
Jesus rose from the dead.
Jesus rose from the dead, isn't it? And that was a promise that, you know, one day if we know Jesus, when we die, that actually we can go to heaven and be with God forever. And so the cross is also a great sign of hope. And I think, too, the cross, too, is a sign for us that we're called to live differently. We're called to live God's way. So I think those things that I think about a poppy can really be, we can think of as the cross as well, and we can be reminded of God's call for us to live his way. So we're going to sing this I Sing pop song, which some of you may well have sung before, and we've sung it here, but not for a couple of years, which speaks of that love which caused Jesus to die on the cross, so that actually that sacrifice, that actually we could be free. So let's stand and sing this song, Only Love.
Joy, stronger and deeper.
And so, Jesus, we thank you that this day, as we remember all those who gave their lives for our country, we remember your death too, that you died that we might have life and that we might know God and know love and know hope. And we pray for our youngest children as they go out to their group now, that you would bless them and be with them this morning. Amen. So as the very youngest children go out to their group, we're going to sing again, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Niven to come up and just lead our act of remembrance.
Good morning. During our act of remembrance, a wreath will be laid under the memorial tablet, which is in the north wall at the back of the church, and on which are engraved the names of the men of this parish who fell during the First World War. A wreath will then be laid against this commemorative kneeler at the front of the church, on which are carved the names of those who remember who fell during the Second World War. This will be laid by Paul Lithgow, whose father, George Edward Lithgow, was a crew member aboard a Lancaster bomber that did not return from a mission over German positions at Le Havre on the 8th of September, 1944. After the final wreath has been laid, the last post will be sounded, following which the exhortation will be given. This ends with the words, "We will remember them," and your response should be, "We will remember them." We will then commence the 2-minute silence, and the silence will then be broken by the sounding of reveille. We will start our act of remembrance with a short prayer. We meet in the presence of God. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may, together, live in freedom, justice and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. Now, if it's possible, would you all please turn and face the memorial at the back of the church. The men of this parish who gave their names in the First World War, 1914 to 1918, are Thomas Atfield, Joseph Coldrick, Llewellyn Edwards, Thomas Haffield, Robert Holden, Herbert Lewis, William Powell, William Rothen, Philip Sellers, Robert Sporton, Alan Stiles, Reginald Thomas, and Noel Turner. Will you please now turn to the front? The men of this parish who gave their lives in the Second World War, 1939 to 1945. Charles Addis, Martin Baldwin, James Cartland, John Cartland, Hubert Duxon, Jack Gatfield, William Gibbs, Charles Lowe, William McCary, Jim Painting, Jack Toomey, and George Edward Lithgow. Thank you. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Amen.
Just take a seat there. We're going to have an act of commitment now, where we have the chance to respond and just say that we, with God's help, will seek to live his way. So today we promise, let us be determined that the sacrifices made in war shall not be in vain. We promise with the help of God. Let us be determined to work with unshakable faith and purpose for peace and justice for all. We promise with the help of God. Let us be determined to live our lives in the service of Christ, who gave his life for all. We promise with the help of God. And today we dedicate ourselves to God. Loving God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now dedicate ourselves to serve you and all humankind for the cause of peace, for the bringing of justice, for the relief of need and suffering, and the praise of your holy name. By your Spirit, Lord, guide us. From your wisdom, Lord, teach us. With true courage, Lord, bless us. In eternal life, Lord, keep us. Amen. Thank you, Niven, for leading us in that. Do be seated. And Pathfinders and older children are going to go off to their groups. And Ellie's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Father God, as we come before you this Remembrance Sunday, help us to reflect and give thanks for those who have given their lives for us. Lord, we are saddened at the thought of war, of the soldiers who must fight, and all those people who are killed. Today we remember their sacrifice with great sadness. We thank them for what they did for us. As one family, we reflect today on the horrors of the past that continue to haunt humanity and darken our world. Lord, where pain still overwhelms, bring healing. Where hearts are still breaking, bring comfort. Where people are still oppressed, bring liberation. Where communities are still victimized, bring justice. Where children are still brutalized, bring compassion. Where lives are still crushed, bring hope. Where evil is perpetrating, bring repentance. Where war still devastates, bring peace. Lord, help us to focus on you and remember you are in all and above all things, that you are a God of goodness. We entrust to you, eternal God, those times when we can only see shadow and lose sight of the hope to come. The times when suffering seems so senseless, life so fragile, war so unstoppable, and death so permanent. Bless us with the assurance that you are in all things, the tragic and the beautiful, the nightmare and the dream, the light and the darkness. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the peace of the world, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. We will now join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 31 and on through chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. Love is indispensable, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Heather as she comes to speak and continue this series we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians, and it's a great chapter to be looking at today on Remembrance Sunday. Come on. Father, would you speak through your servant Heather now? May we open our hearts to really receive your love and for you to minister to us this morning, that we may leave here people of love, of your love, to be lights in our dark world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Thursday was the 103rd anniversary of the armistice, which at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, ended 4 horrific years of the Great War, which was supposed to end all wars. The war which, with all the succeeding wars, has cost so many millions of lives. These words of Jesus are often used in recognition of the sacrifice of all those young men who signed up so eagerly and naively in 1914. No one can ever show greater love than when he lays down his life for his friends. So what could be more appropriate than today's subject, love, the most excellent way? For the last few weeks, we've been studying Paul's teaching about spirit-filled worship in 1 Corinthians chapters 11 to 14. And today we've reached what I'm calling the Corinthian love sandwich. Last week, we read in chapter 12 about belonging together as members of the body of Christ. And the chapter ended, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." That leads into today's reading, Paul's famous hymn of love. Chapter 14 then begins, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." And Paul resumes where he left off at the end of chapter 12. He was writing to a young, immature Christian church in a pagan world. This church boasted of its spiritual gifts, but was divided into factions, tolerated immorality, was disorderly in worship, disregarded the sensibilities of members with tender consciences, and misused the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Paul had been encouraging them to use their gifts for the common good, and at this moment, as he wrote, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that what the Corinthians really lacked was love for one another. He couldn't continue his teaching about spiritual gifts until he'd emphasized love as the most excellent way. He felt compelled to tell them that parading spiritual gifts, whether speaking in tongues or prophesying, giving to charity or exercising great faith, all were absolutely worthless and so much hot air unless they were done in the spirit of love. But what sort of love did he mean? Because, you know, love is a word which is used in English to mean many different experiences and emotions. And there's a famous book by C.S. Lewis in which he identifies 4 kinds of love, for which in Greek there are 4 different words. There's storge, which means affection for things or people. Things or people. Have you ever said, "I love sticky toffee pudding"? Philia refers to the bond of friendship forged between people who have something special in common, like those cavers who rallied to rescue one of their own last week. Eros, from which we get the word erotic, refers to romantic and often sexual love relationships. And all these are good kinds of love, but they can go badly wrong without the influence of the 4th kind of love, And this is the one that Paul is writing about in our chapter, using the word agape, which means unconditional, sacrificial love, a love born of God who is love. 1 Corinthians 13 is a popular reading at weddings, and the middle section, which lists the qualities of love, is the perfect blueprint for a good marriage. But we all know from first-hand experience, whether married or not, how hard it is to live consistently in this way. I don't know whether Christy and Nathan had this reading at their wedding here a few months ago, but I do know that there are three people in their relationship, and that they are seeking, with the Holy Spirit's help, to live lovingly in this way. Because this way of living is what St. Paul, in another letter to the Galatians, called the fruit of the Spirit. The qualities we see on this tapestry in the foyer, kindness and gentleness and joy and self-control, faithfulness, these all stem from love, not our love, but the love of God, which has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Those are Paul's words again in Romans chapter 5. He says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Before we started this series, we spent a number of weeks exploring what the heart of God is like as he revealed it to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. I found those explorations wonderfully revealing and enriching. And now, looking at the qualities of agape love which Paul lists, I find that they represent aspects of God's own character supremely expressed in the life of Jesus. I noticed that Bishop Martin, at last week's confirmation service, mentioned the first of these qualities, God's patience with us, and he said that's for next week's sermon. Now, on this slide, you're going to see that I've listed a number of the qualities which Paul describes, and I've given some Bible references which demonstrate how they play out in God's loving behaviour towards us. I shall read some of the verses, and I've also printed paper copies of this slide, and I think there are still some at the back, which you can take if you want to look up the verses at home. And Dave has also included a link to this slide in the weekly mailing. And I do encourage you to follow up and read these wonderful passages which illustrate qualities of God's love and the sort of love which he wants to grow in us. So Paul says, love is patient. In another letter, he writes to his young disciple Timothy, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience, as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And we've recently heard testimonies from Lucy at her baptism and Russell at the confirmation service of how patiently God waited for them to come back to him and surrender their lives. But you know, we all experience God's patience pretty well every day, every time we come back to him and say, I've messed up again, I'm sorry. And he wants to develop the same fruit of patience in us towards other people. Love is kind. Paul writes in Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. And he raised us up with Christ in order that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Kindness may sound perhaps a rather simple, ordinary, everyday sort of quality, until you think about how we miss it if it's not there. But it is in fact a powerful quality through which we can model charis, charity in its deepest sense, God's grace and love to those we live with and those we meet. Love is not proud. Jesus described himself as gentle and humble of heart. And in Philippians 2, Paul, writing to another young church with attitude problems, says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." This really speaks to me, and I'm sure it does to you as well. And he goes on, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And as we think of the humility and the gentleness of our Lord Jesus, we are called to follow in his footsteps. Love is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. There's nothing more destructive, is there, of relationships than holding on to anger and resentment. We heard when we were studying in Exodus 34 how God is slow to anger, full of great kindness, abounding in mercy and forgiveness. And these are the qualities the Holy Spirit seeks to grow in us. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God has forgiven us wholly and completely. But each time we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And unforgiveness, as I've already said, is so destructive. And if you know that this or any of the other aspects of agape love is an issue for you, I do hope that you will come for prayer ministry after the service. The sort of love Paul describes is costly. It's sacrificial. It endures to the end. Such was the love of Jesus as he went to the cross. John chapter 13 begins, "Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 3 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I know there are many people in our church family who have all sorts of burdens and challenges to bear at this time. And the endurance of Jesus, his patience and the way that he went to the cross for us, is said here to be an encouragement to us that if Jesus could endure such opposition from sinners, then we can be encouraged not to grow weary and lose heart. In closing, let's remind ourselves of what the Holy Spirit, the source of love, wants to do in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2:12, "We have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." Just pause while we think about that. That we may understand what God has freely given us. This verse I've already read. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us I hope and believe that that's been your experience as you have opened up your lives more and more to the Holy Spirit, that God's love just burns and flourishes and grows within you. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. That's one of the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to reassure us when maybe we've gone wrong, we know we've messed up in some sort of way. We're doubtful about whether what the promises are really for us or not. Then the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're God's children, that we can come to God as our Father, that we can call him Abba, Daddy. And finally, here's the challenge. Since we live by this Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. As we have our spiritual life by the Holy Spirit poured into our lives, so we are not just to talk the talk, we're to walk the walk. It sounds daunting, doesn't it? I'm sure the Corinthian believers winced as they read Paul's words, and I'm sure we do too. Ouch. I'm often impatient. I'm not always kind. I'm too often rude and self-seeking, and so on. Truth hurts. But be reassured by the last part of the chapter, where Paul describes his own growing maturity and understanding as a disciple. You remember he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but as I've grown to maturity, I've come to understand more about what God is doing. And in Ephesians chapter 4, another of the places where Paul writes about gifts for the body of Christ, he says just this. He says that as members of the body, speaking the truth in love to one another, we will grow up together towards Christian maturity. I don't seem to have the words on that slide, but I'll read them for you. The words that we read at the beginning were spoken by Jesus about his forthcoming death, when he said, "No one can ever show greater love than when he lays down his life for his friends." But he went on, he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. And your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." It's as if the body of Christ in our life together, as members of that body, we encourage and we nurture one another as we receive life from Jesus, the head. But then also as the body of Christ, we are to turn outwards so that as we demonstrate this love for one another, it will prove to the world that Jesus is real, that following him is real, that it matters, that there's something attractive. It was said of the early church, the early Christians, see how these Christians love one another. And that's what we long should be said about us, isn't it? See how these Christians love one another. So I'm going to read those words that Jesus said again. And then as we look at this final slide, have we got the rest of the words? No. I'll read them again. And then we're going to spend some time in silence, thinking and praying about how we can become more like Jesus in the way we live, and asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit to make this possible. So Jesus went on after saying those words, "You are my friends if you do what I command. And I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." as we continue to pray and reflect on what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us, we're going to sing a song which begins, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Holy Spirit, come, abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace.
And
oh,
just rest in that truth for a moment, that God's love for us never runs out. And just maybe some of you here today, some of us here today are just wanting to be more aware of God's love, wanting to God's love to just flow through us more, that we may share that love with others. You know how there's invitation to come and receive ministry. If you need a fresh outpouring of God's love on you today, just come to the front afterwards and people would love to pray for you. Or if you've got anything else that you would love someone to pray with you. We, part of being family, part of being love for each other, is that we journey with each other in the tough times, and we offer to pray and to pour out God's love to each other. It's coffee after the service too. Do go down to the hall and join for coffee there. But a final prayer as we go from here, as we go sent out into this world to be God's light, to show God's love, to demonstrate God's peace. Let's say together, send us out to be beacons of peace and love in a dark world of conflict. Make us instruments of peace for whoever we meet and wherever we go. In the name of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.